Hello, we got Mark this time.
Oh, I can hear
Excellent. Looks like we're going this time.
you.
That's all right. We've got there in the end, though. We know what Skype's like. We said that in the last interview, I think.
Oh no, it's a nightmare.
Bloody awful piece of technology.
Technology, it's great.
Welcome to the internet age, 21st century. So, how are things going other than that phone problem then, Mark?
It's the weekend, hurrah!
Absolutely. Yeah, I know that feeling. It's been a long week.
It's been, yeah. I think, mind you, every week seems to be a long week at the moment.
That is true. Is there anything you're working on at the moment worth talking about?
Well, we just released an audio update for Beam NG, which is this physics-based driving crashing simulator thing. Awesome physics engine. So we had a big audio update on that, which we kind of got wrong to start off with and delayed the release by a couple of weeks. but we fixed it in the end. So there's that. And various games for the casino that I'm working with. And something else that I can't talk about at the moment. But
Ah,
yeah,
that's very intriguing.
busy, busy man.
Is there much work left to do on the Me album that's coming, or is that just finished and waiting to come out?
I'm just sorting out mixes. I think, I'm not sure if we spoke about it in the last call, but mixing is my demon. I really struggle with it. So it takes me quite a while to get things listenable. So everything's done and I'm just tweaking and tuning. So I put a date of the end of July and then realized, oh no, I'm on holiday then. So then I moved it back to August, but likely it'll be hopefully next month.
Right, excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to that because obviously we played Night Driver just last week.
Yes, thank you. Yes, that was great. It sounds slightly different now, but I spent a bit of time on it today, just tweaking a few bits. But yeah, it's a weird one. That's I went into a bit of a 70s analog kind of mode for a bit, and a couple of tracks came out. And then I did the Project Hubbard album in the same sort of style, which took oh quite a while. I think I spent about a year on it in my spare time, and I think it's gone down well. But as with a lot of things now, with sound, you only hear about it if there's something wrong with it. So
Right, yeah, I know what you
if it's
mean.
okay, nobody says anything.
Well, I've heard it. I think it's brilliant. So
Oh, cool! Thank
there
you.
you go, at the
It was a
very least.
it was kind of a labor of love, that one, because I mean, Chris obviously paid me some money to do it, and I'm very grateful to him because it was just after I'd left Codemasters, so I was thinking, ah, where am I going to get some money from? So when you start looking at money and time and how much time you can dedicate, I ran out of that time quite quickly.
Right.
But then thought I need to carry on and try and get this right. In some ways, as a thanks to Rob, because the stuff I heard on the 64 was my first experience of electronic music, and so that's what started it all for me. And obviously, the things that he was producing stood out amongst a lot of the other stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, at that time, there were probably four good game composers, and then other people who weren't really composers, but did it for their game to probably save money. So it was kind of like I wanted to get it right for him, sort of thing. Although, as it happens, his feedback wasn't particularly positive about it all. I think a few of them. I changed a bit too much. I know, like one track he had a rock band in mind, another track he had an orchestra in mind, and obviously I did it all in with old synth sounds and changed time signatures, or slowed things down or whatever, but completely out of keeping with what he envisaged the track sounding like. So there were a couple he didn't really like,
Well, it's funny
but there
because
we go.
Rob can be quite upfront like that. Because I remember when I was researching for interviewing him, I was looking at a lot of old interviews, and he had these interviewers like fawning and saying things like, oh God, these amazing old tracks. I love this. I love that. And Rob would just be like, no, it was crap.
Yeah,
absolute
shit.
Crap. Yeah.
he's a very honest Northerner.
Absolutely.
That's
yeah.
For sure.
He's from my neck of the woods, I think.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. But, you know, he's got his quiet side as well. Well, we've done a couple of gigs together with him on piano and me on violin. I remember one time, he, poor bloke, this was a Back in Time gig in Manchester, and he was staying in the same hotel as us. So there was me, Ben, John Hare, and Rob, and I brought out the vodka. I think Rob's comments afterwards were, I'm never going to drink a drop of that shit again. We had to stop the car the next day so that he could throw up on the curbside.
Well, I know he likes his beer, because I remember him saying to me a lot of the time, these tracks, he was just trying to get through it so we could get to the pub.
Well, I think that's it. He likes his beer.
Yeah.
You know, and I poured vodka down his throat.
I can't imagine what that's like. I couldn't take it myself.
No. I did another gig with him in Copenhagen, and I didn't have a lot of time to practice, so I didn't do any practice. And I thought, that's fine. I'll just take the notes, because I'd scored out what I needed to play, because I often score out what I need to play so I can learn it. And then hopefully by the time you do the gig, you've got it in your memory. But I thought, oh, bollocks, I'll take the notes and just read off the notes. So there we were on stage, walking onto stage. Oh, shit. Oh no, I've left the notes in England. So I didn't have the notes with me. So I said to Rob, I haven't got the notes. I'll need to kind of stand behind you and look over your scores. That's fine. So there's me standing over him wearing my normal gigging dark glasses, which I can't really see a lot out of. So I still couldn't read the music because of my glasses. So I put on my other glasses, which were only for distance. And so I was too close. So they just made the notes blurred. So I tried taking the glasses off. And I think we ended up getting about two thirds the way through the gig. And I just turned around to the audience and said, fuck this, I'm just going to jam the rest of the concert. And that's what I did. Rob did what he did, and I just noodled over the top of it.
Jesus,
I don't think he mind too much.
I'd imagine there was some tough stuff going on in there as well. Some of those C64 tunes are pretty complex.
Yeah, but you know, if you know things well enough, then your muscle memory takes over.
That's true.
And you know, if not, then it's like jazz music. You know, my description of jazz music is music where you keep playing the same wrong note all the time, so that it ends up being a right note.
The whole broken clock thing.
That's how I kind of view it all. And it's the same when you're performing. You know, if you play a wrong note, often if you play that wrong note again, it becomes a right note. And to sort of like the majority of the audience, or at least the ones who aren't into their music, they won't necessarily, you know, realize it. And you kind of get away with it.
Right.
So, you know, but then you've got to remember that a lot of us have been listening to that stuff for so many years now. We've kind of got the rough idea of how it goes just in memory anyway, you know. I think that's how Sid 80s got away with so much, because obviously we couldn't rehearse. As Ben famously said, you know, we rehearsed via email.
Right.
But because a lot of the tunes we all know, because we were fans of, it was a lot easier to get together one day beforehand, you know, spend about 3 hours playing through stuff and then playing in front of people. I mean, it still wasn't perfect, far from it. But I don't think you could do that with stuff that you just listened to a few times.
Yeah.
You know, I think you know, you need to know it a lot better.
And how much is this kind of stuff going on these days? Because I've never had the fortune of seeing someone like Fastloaders or something like that. And are there any bands still going around doing this?
Well, they are, yeah. Fastloaders and Press Play on Tape. Oh, God, who else? I mean, they're the main ones in sort of like UK and Europe. There's Visa Boston. They're an a cappella group.
Right.
But I think there's one next year, I think, which Fast Loaders might have organised.
Oh, that's excellent. I'll have to try and get myself there.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. I'd like to go because I miss the Fast Loaders in Brighton, just because when you're kind of playing on stage, there's just stuff that you need to do beforehand, which means that you can't just sit in the audience and watch the other people performing, you know.
Yeah.
So I wish I'd seen that, and I wish I'd seen Ben performing with them as well.
But, absolutely, yeah.
There we go.
But one opportunity you are going to have to sit back, because we talked a little bit about the 8-bit symphony as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's not too far. I still got to book my train and hotel for that one.
Yeah, funnily enough, so do I.
I still don't know, actually, whether I'm supposed to be doing something. I need to talk to Chris, because we haven't spoken about it for a while.
Yeah, we mentioned that, because on our little talk about the 8-bit symphony, you talked about how you were set to be involved for a little bit, but frankly, I don't think that little slot of conversation is going to end up in any podcast, so we could kind of have that little conversation again.
Yeah, but not for too long, because my little lad's still waiting for me to come back.
No problem, no problem.
but yeah, I mean, oh God, what was the question again?
What was your kind of association with the 8-bit symphony, and how did that come about?
Well, originally, because I've done some violin work for Chris in the past, and obviously with the whole Sid 80s thing. So the plan was, with regards to the set list that Chris has originally come up with, was that I was going to have a moderate performing role in the concert as a soloist, which actually, for the first time in I guess about 30 years, starts to make me feel nervous, because, you know, I'm not a professional violinist, and whilst I've stood up and played in front of or been accompanied by orchestras before, not to the level of, you know, what we've got next month. So there was a bit of me that was quite nervous about it, and I thought, well, no, that's fine. I've got a year. If I start practicing, you know, put in an hour a day, then by the time the concert's there, I should hopefully be up to speed. But then the set list changed anyway, which is probably a blessing in disguise, because being self-employed now, and at the point at the moment where I've almost got too much work, I probably wouldn't have found the hour a day to do the practice anyway. So, and then I would have looked a bit of a knob on stage.
Well, that's brilliant, Mark, and we'll still get to meet up anyway, whether you're playing or not.
Oh yeah, beer time. I'll see you at beer o'clock.
Absolutely, I'm ready to get very drunk that night. I'm already prepared. But yes, I'll let you get back on with your family duties. Sorry to interrupt with all of that.
Oh, that's fine. No worries, mate.
Yeah, thanks.
You have
so
a good
much,
evening.
Mark. Same to you. Same to you.
Speak to you soon.
Speak again soon, mate. Bye for now.
Cheers, Lee.
Bye.